Hello and welcome. Janet Beckers here with Rising Stars Radio, and I'm very excited to introduce you to a beautiful friend of mine and somebody who I've admired for such a long time, Kerry Phipps. Now, Kerry is the author of Do Talk to Strangers, and not only is she the author of Do Talk to Strangers, she's also this amazing networker. She is a person who seems to know everybody and be able to connect everybody in such a way that is just, she feels, I introduced her as a friend because I feel that way, and I know that most people feel that way as well. So as well as being the author of Do Talk to Strangers, she's also the author of just three solo books, and also to show her sort of walking her talk with her connections from around the world. She is the co-author of six books where she's collaborated with authors from, you know, from small towns in Australia to over to London. She's also a very well sought out keynote speaker and facilitates life changing workshops for up to 1,000 people. So, Kerry Phipps, it is such an honour to have you here today.
Such a delight to be chatting with you, Janet. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, everybody, that's taking the time to listen to us today. I know that Kerry is going to have so much to share with you, and our intention today is to be able to give you fantastic value and also give you really, really practical strategies that you can go and implement into your own life, into your own businesses this week, so that you can go and actually have things that you can be applying right now. So thank you very much for the trust of your time, and I really do encourage you to take notes as much as you can. So we're here, Kerry and I are here for you to try to give you as much value as possible. So Kerry, to get started, let's just hear a little bit about your story. Would you mind just sharing to people, well, really, your book, Do Talk to Strangers, it's such a unique name. What is the story that's led to that point of you creating that book?
There's just two short stories. One is my whole life has really led me to this, and even as you were just introducing me as someone who's really well connected, it just occurred to me last night that it's not just that I have so many connections in my world from conversations I've had, but there's my dad's generation. I did a book launch in Western Australia about 5 years ago, and one of Dad's schoolmates came to that. And then there's my grandparents. I had a 92-year-old give me a call just yesterday to see how my granddad was going, and I thought, I have such a rich history of connectors in my family. So it really is no surprise when I look at that. And it's been in the last 10 years that I've emerged as a connector because I was very shy and intimidated, and so I understand the challenges in connecting because I've had those conversations in my head that have held me back and kept me shy. So the other story that I just want to highlight is a few years ago I was on a flight from Dubbo to Sydney, and it was an early morning flight. I'm not a morning person. I wasn't expecting to have a great conversation. I had my journal ready to, you know, make some notes and do a brain dump on the way to Sydney. And a young man sat next to me, and as we were putting on our seatbelts, I said, good morning. And then the next question that popped out of my mouth just unlocked an amazing conversation, because I just said, are you just going on to Sydney today or further on? And he said, oh, I'm going to Germany to see my family for a couple of days, and then I'm going on to London. I thought, well, what takes you to London? Oh, I've been asked to work at the Olympics. So I chatted with this guy who was living in Dubbo because of his wife's work, and he was consulting all over the world with chefs of famous restaurants, setting up new kitchens and et cetera. And turns out he used to work in Buckingham Palace and was living in Dubbo and had a son the same age as our son. And so we had lots of lovely afternoon teas and hanging out together when he got back from the Olympics, where he'd been catering for the USA VIPs. So there was that conversation on the flight. We talked all the way down. He said he doesn't usually talk to strangers, but there it was. We had that conversation. And then one interaction after another in cafes, on trains. And so, you know, I'm telling people these stories. Oh, I met this person and this happened. I met that person and this happened. And people started saying the same thing over and over. Kerry, how do you do this? How do you have these conversations? And I'm like, oh, well, you just do. So you know how it is, Janet, when someone asks you, how do you do something that you do all the time? Like if someone was to say, but exactly how do you get in and drive the car? If you've been doing that for years, you just go, oh, I just do. So I've had a lot of friends helping me unpack my thinking around connecting so that I could put it in a book. So Jane Pelosi in Perth, who was a stranger who I met, and there's another story, she really helped me to put it into a framework that says how to, and so we can cover that today. You know, in a nutshell, I can spend a whole day on it, really working through the different elements of it, but we can have a look at that model today.
Yeah, you know what I found fascinating at that very beginning of you telling about your story, Kerry, is you said that you were shy and intimidated. I just cannot imagine you being intimidated and shy. I cannot imagine you being the quiet person that didn't have the confidence to speak to people, because that's something that you do so beautifully.
Well, we can forget, but then just even recently someone played a song and it was about being brave, and it just choked me up because I just thought, I'm just always making choices to be brave and to say what I think, because I think for years I just was, because I'm a people person, I would want to fit in, and so I would take on the thinking of other people around me and not want to say, actually, I see it differently. So that's an aspect of being intimidated, you know, not saying what I think, or not just being bold to introduce myself or to share a story because I was really concerned about what other people would think. And it probably goes back to, you know, school days. I think we're very confident when we're kids. You know, you see three-year-olds just, you know, go up to someone in the street and say hello, or, you know, like, why are you wearing that colour? Or kids just ask all kinds of questions. But yeah, through school, just being bullied and isolated, I guess I withdrew and, found that I had to, be what people expected. And I think so many people feel that, you know, you have to kind of toe the line at school and, you know, conform to the culture there, and then you can be in a workplace. And I was in a workplace as a young person where there was a real culture of martyrdom, you know, like even if you were on the early shift, you came in early, but then you didn't want to leave others to pack up, so you would stay with the people that were on the late shift. It was crazy, you know, but you just start to feel the pressure of people around. It's just peer pressure, you know, but adults have peer pressure as well as students, and I really felt that for a long time. And it was just, you know, moments where I go, you know what, it doesn't have to be like this. And they were like really brave moments where I might be shaking in my boots, but when I did, people would say, thank you so much for saying something. So a lot of times I've seen that it's not that I've been the confident one to say something. You know, at parties, for example, someone's like, you know, who would like to congratulate the happy couple, or, you know, the birthday girl, you know, who would like to make a speech? And everyone stands there uncomfortably, like the dad says something, and then it's like, who's going to volunteer? And I would just feel so sorry for the person who was like having the party, because nobody wanted to say anything. And so my heart's pounding that I would have to go and say something on behalf of people who wanted to say something but were too shy.
Right.
And so people would go, oh, you're so confident. I just wish I could say things like that. And I'm like, I wasn't confident that something had to be done, something had to be said.
And there you go. And the interesting thing there is you've approached that. It took you courage, but the motivation was a genuine caring for somebody else. You saw it as a service, but if you didn't stand up, that, you know, you were letting somebody else down, the person who was running the party. So I think that's a really interesting insight, that a lot of times people may see confidence and the ability to stand up and be, you know, the person that people will look at and go, oh, wow, they're brave, they've put themselves out there. Sometimes people can interpret that as being self-centered or selfish or, you know, it's all about me, whereas what you just demonstrated from such a beautiful, humble place is that actually it's the other way around, that making yourself, you know, push out of your comfort zone and to step up, to talk to strangers, is actually from a place of service.
Yeah, and it's for a cause. You know, it's for people to feel included, or it's, yeah, it's like I have a purpose in doing this, because, gosh, I certainly don't want to do it to draw attention to myself, because that would be embarrassing.
Well, let's talk, before we talk about your process, because I love that you have actually taken the time to sit down with a friend who you said was previously a stranger and actually, you know, reverse engineer, I suppose, how it is what you do so that you can then help other people to do it. So before we start talking about, you know, going in step by step, which I just love the idea of that you've actually got a process for doing what other people would consider would just be natural, let's have a look at why it's necessary anyway. Like, sure, you know, it's you know, you can have people who are, it's like, you know, not everybody has to be the person that stands up and talks to people or does those connections or does those things of moving out of their comfort zone. So why is it important anyway?
Well, I think we're connecting with people all day, every day, you know, regardless of what kind of work we're in, and even people are not working. If you're not connecting with people, there's a whole lot of life you're missing out on, and it's very isolating. Like, we're born for connection. We're wired for connection. Our brains are created. There's, like, the majority of our brain's activity is socially wired. So we are noticing what's going on in the social world. Even if we think that we're not a people person, not thinking about people, we're conscious of how we're perceived by people. So your brain is on alert all the time. You know, you can feel when someone's looking at you, even if you're, you know, driving your car and you feel the person overtaking you, look at you, you look around. We're just so wired to notice other people. And so when we are not making healthy connections, there's such a void. And I think people are so isolated, even though we have, you know, every opportunity for connection. We're so connected online and there's so many activities going on in the community, but people isolate themselves and just have this external appearance of connection, and that's not satisfying at all. Yeah. And then people are, you know, in workplaces or in business where they need to be selling, but that's kind of like the end result of connecting, because when we're connecting with people, we just naturally say, oh, I can help you with that, or I know somebody who has that answer or that solution, or, oh, I can create that solution for you. We see opportunities to serve each other and to connect constantly. Our brains are just constantly making those connections. So to be able to do that confidently, I think, is something that so many people are, you know, looking to improve. Whether we're great connectors or not, we can always raise awareness of how well we're connecting and how we can do it more effectively.
And you know what I found interesting, what you were saying there, Kerry? I found it all interesting. But one other thing, when you were talking about sales, is that that's an end result. But it's the end result of strong connections. And interestingly, even though when you're talking about people who are in business, so they're looking at sales, but even people who aren't in business, the end result may not be a sale where you're actually selling a product and that's ticked off as that's the thing you've achieved. You might be needing to sell your point of view, or selling, you know, selling that you are the best person to employ for a job. You know, it's still, as you've said, like, the sale is the outcome, it's the result, but it's the actual connection and the relationship that actually is the important part.
Yeah, and I just thought also, you know, we are purchasers as well. And have you ever tried to shop somewhere where they're just not interested in selling something to you?
Yes.
I walked out of a shop one day and my son, who was about 7 at the time, said, I thought you were going to buy a red handbag. And I said, do you think she wanted to sell me a red handbag? I tried on about 5 different ones on my shoulder, and I looked over and smiled at her, and she just you know, sort of glanced at me and looked back at her phone, and I just went, I just wasn't feeling the love. So I'm like, I'm going to get a bag. I'm going to get a bag some other time. You know, so it's just there as a spender and as a seller. And it's not always the end result, because it can be, you know, an ongoing relationship. But you know, in a lot of places, people might be, you know, passing through, buying something and not ever going back to your shop. But then they might now check in, put something on social media about their experience in your business. And so if there's a great connection, really, whether there's money changing hands or not, it's all about the connection, because
I love how you said you're not feeling the love, which is you're not feeling the connection. So that's as the person who is buying in a business, you know, and that could very well be, you know, you can say that you're not feeling the love with sitting next to this person on this plane, you know, this opportunity that you would have missed out on to meet this really, really interesting person. So but let's look at your solution. So because I love the idea that you've actually have this as a process that you were talking about, when you've actually kind of reverse engineered with the help of somebody who could look from the outside and see what it is that you do. So this is going to, the result of what you've created that we're going to walk people through, is the result that they'll be developing stronger connections? Is that what we're aiming for?
Yeah, it's so you can, as the subtitle says, connect with anyone, anywhere. So for some people, they just want to connect more in everyday life and just, you know, enjoy everyday life more, because we do. When we walk past somebody and say, wow, your garden looks beautiful, it's like, wow, it just made your day and theirs. And also there is pressure on people to connect, and so they really need to for their business success. But when people want to know, how do I talk to strangers to grow my business, I want to say, can we just park that agenda for now and just go bigger picture, bigger than how can I get more customers, how can I grow my business, how can I connect better from one human being to another? You know, how can I be a better connector in society? How can I contribute to changing our culture to be more friendly and connected?
I love it. Especially when you were saying that, you know, the outcome, no matter what it is that you're selling, whether you're selling yourself or you're selling in a business, or, you know, you may not even think that you're selling, but you're selling your ideas, is just the outcome. So what we're going to look at here is the process, which is really about that connection.
And connection, I think of, you know, when there's a connection, there's a flow and things are easy. So, I mean, if you're just connecting a hose, then, you know, water can flow. If you're connecting, you know, cords, then machines will work. Any connection, it's like, clicks into place and you go, okay, now we have ease. And so it's like a freedom in everyday life to interact with other people, because it can just be challenging from time to time, and, you know, or quite often. And especially if people have grown up with being told don't talk to strangers, or there's fear around connecting, then we're so limited in our possibilities and just in our, you know, general happiness.
I love the title, Do Talk to Strangers, as well. So let's get stuck into the solution. This actual process that you were able to reverse engineer so that people can actually apply this. So people who are listening, I'd love you now, if you can just get your pen and your paper out. And I want you, as we're going to be working through the system that Kerry's got, I'm gonna pick a brains to really get really good strategies that you can use this week, okay? So my challenge to you is, as we go through her process, I really challenge you to write down not just what you're learning from Kerry, but also think, right, how am I going to apply that this week into my life, into the connections and my relationships with everybody around me? So that's my challenge to you. So, and I'll be asking you as we're going through, you know, some of the, you know, for you to think about how you can apply that. So I just want to put that out there to you, that you've got an opportunity here to actually take some action and leave with an action plan at the end of today, rather than leaving with lots of great information and inspiration and then not doing anything with it. So that's my challenge to you. So Kerry, can you tell me, does your process have a name?
Yes, it does. And just before I go into that, Janet, I just wanted to add to that, when we're writing down the model as I go through it, also if people come to mind, write those names down. If there's opportunities or places to connect, write down all of those ideas that come. Your page doesn't have to look like Janet's page would. It'll be your own page with your own ideas. Yeah, so Janet, it's called the Asking Model, A-S-K-I-N-G.
Okay.
And, you know, this came about with lots of playing with words and how do I express this? And when I came up with asking, I just thought that's perfect because there's a foundation of curiosity and permission. So when we're curious, then our inhibitions and fears sort of drop away because our curiosity overrides that. So if I see you down the street and I go, oh my gosh, that's a really cool hat. That's really unique. Can I ask you where you got that? Well, I've forgotten to be shy.
And
even in that sample question, I threw in a question that asked permission. You know, can I ask you about that? And so permission isn't always asking a question. And I think there'll be examples that will come out as we go through the asking model. But if we start with the A for asking, the key word there is awareness. So it's about awareness of self and others, because we can be so focused on others that we can be unaware of our own judgments or agendas or nerves. And, you know, I'm sure that most people will relate to your nerves getting in the way at different times, or feeling intimidated might get in the way of you connecting, or, you know, even feeling superior or judgmental. So there are different agendas and perspectives that we have that can get in the way. So if we're going to be aware of ourself, it's just taking a moment, and this is something that can be developed over time, and there's so much research about mindfulness and, you know, raising awareness of yourself and where you're at. And, you know, just for example, doing exercise classes are a great example of a way to do that, you know, especially something like yoga or Pilates. You're focusing on something specific in your body at the time and you're thinking. So when I walk into a room and maybe it's a networking function and I might be feeling nervous, so just to notice, when you are aware of it, then you can let it go. But when you're trying to inhibit it or stuff it down, like the natural adult response to emotion is just to suppress it.
Right.
And you see children express emotion, they, you know, they'll fall over and they'll just cry, or someone will snatch their toy and so they'll like have a tantrum. They will express what's going on. But as you get older, it's like, okay, that's not so socially appropriate, so just stuff it down, don't let anyone know you're upset. So that's not really helpful either, because we start lying to ourselves and saying, I'm fine, there's nothing wrong. So if we can be honest and go, actually, I feel slighted, or I feel you know, intimidated, or, you know, just to notice how you feel and be honest with yourself and go, okay, well, that's not useful, so I will let that go. Because when we actually can name it, then it diminishes its power in the brain. So
that's good.
Without getting into too much detail, it's like saying, you know, if you can imagine a child, you know, saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. And, you know, they keep doing that until you go, oh, yes, darling, I see you. Then they're like, oh, you noticed. So the emotional center of our brain responds like that. It's going, you know, look at me, look at me, and it's interrupting your clear thinking. So when you can notice it and go, ah, nervousness, you've popped up again. You know, you're not going to serve me well for this situation, so I'm just going to let you go, because I'm choosing to be focused on others, or I'm choosing to be a connector, I'm choosing to welcome people, or I'm choosing to encourage people. So it's so much easier to choose the focus that we want when we can be honest and let go of the feelings or the agenda that might be there. Mm. Like, you know, an agenda that might come up for people in a networking situation is, I have to get a sale this week. So have you ever encountered someone, Janet, where they're at a function and they come and meet you and you can feel that they need to get a sale this week?
Oh, absolutely. And you can usually tell who that person is because there is this big space around them at the networking event because they've energetically been pushing everybody away from them.
Yeah, because it's uncomfortable. You sort of feel like, oh, they're trying to, like, grab a hold of me. And so, yeah, so that doesn't help us or the other people if we, you know, have that kind of agenda. So maybe you are in that situation where you go, I really need to make a sale this week. But just let go of that. Just go, okay, I am feeling a bit desperate right now. That's not going to help. Let that go. I'm just going to come in and see how can I be of service to others, or, you know, who can I connect with others? You know, can I get someone a drink? Who looks like they don't know anyone here? That's shifting your focus. Like it's being aware of yourself, but then it's moving into awareness of others. So so maybe when we start looking around at others, then they feel valued, they feel appreciated. You're far more likely to, you know, get a sale. But it might not be from them. They might go, wow, this person made me feel so welcome. Have you seen what they're doing? They might become your best referrer. And that's why it's so powerful to let go of your agenda, because the person that you meet might not be the next big sale. They might tell their dad or their brother or their sister about you, and then boom, there's some big outcome. But we won't see that if we are attached to getting them across the line there and then.
You know what? One thing that I find really powerful about what you've been sharing there is it's about taking control, because by actually you're taking control of your own emotions, because very often our emotions are controlling us. And the process that you've just outlined there of, you know, being aware of yourself and your feelings, and being able to just acknowledge it and go, okay, that's noticed it. And I loved that you said, I'm going to let that go because that does not serve me right now.
Mm.
That's very, very powerful for you to be able to say that. So I think of, you know, that's one of the things I'm writing down on my list is the power that actually comes from that self-awareness, but actually taking that step, that very practical step that you've just talked about of saying, okay, well, I'm in control here, and I've decided we're going to let you go in this situation.
Yeah.
it is a really, really powerful technique. And so when you talked about the awareness there, so that was very, very much your awareness on yourself. You also said at the beginning that it's awareness of self and also awareness of others. So you've kind of touched on that there as well. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that? On this point?
Yeah, I think it's important when we're aware of others to remember that we can't make assumptions about others. So we can't assume, oh, they're shy. They might actually be standing back because they're thinking, okay, I just need to think this through before I go and start meeting people. You know, they might just be thinking about something. So we can't just, you know, make an assumption, oh, you're really shy, so I have to look after you. But we can just be aware that everybody else has stuff going on for them as well, you know, so like we can be caught up in our own, you know, busyness or grief or pressure or excitement, anything, but to be aware that, you know, other people have got stuff going on for them as well, and just to respect people. So there are things that we can notice, and a good activity would just be to do some people watching this week, just sit in a cafe, you know, looking out on the street and just watch people go past and watch, you know, their energy, or you might see apparent needs. Like, so when people are getting on public transport, you might go, oh, they've got a suitcase, they need a bit more space, or they've got a pram. So, you know, I just say apparent needs because, again, it's like, let's not make assumptions about what they need, but maybe they need a space to sit, and so maybe they need someone to welcome them. But, yeah, just to be aware and basically aware that other people have feelings as well.
Yeah.
So just being more respectful.
Yeah. I love the, you know, just that, I just love that term, respectful, actually. And when you said before, you know, connection and you mentioned love at the beginning, just sort of, you know, in passing, is to me these are, you know, the core things to actually living a life of integrity, aren't they, is, is that respect and that connection. So I love that you've actually got a process here that is based on such what feels right as well. A lot of times when you read things or you hear from people where they're talking about, I've got a process to help you make connections, to help you make sales, to help you get that date, a lot of times they're meticulous and they feel yucky. Whereas, I mean, we're only up to the A in the asking and already the process that you're talking about feels right. It feels as if it's something that can come naturally. So, and I congratulate you for that, because I think that that's a lot of times people try to make it too, forced, I suppose.
Or scripted,
Scripted, absolutely, absolutely. So in summary, for this first step, the A in the asking, so for things that people can be doing this week, you've talked about actually people watching, and I really liked your exercise that you were talking about with being just aware and acknowledging whatever emotion it is that you're having, how you're feeling at that time, and then making the decision yourself, is that going to serve me or not, and whether I'm going to let it go or not. I think that's a really, really good activity to consciously do in all situations.
Yeah, and can I just say, a post-it note could be really helpful for that. So just to write down, and not the story of everything that's going on, everything you're thinking about, but what is the emotion? Because it's the emotion that's jumping up and down, saying, look at me, you know, or interrupting your thinking. So just to write down, you know, sense of pressure, sense of expectation, sense of nervousness or anxiety, you know, write it down on a post-it note, you know, screw it up, toss it away. So you're physically going, I am letting go of that.
Awesome.
That can be a really helpful way of literally letting go of it and saying to that part of your brain, yep, I heard you, but you're not coming for the ride.
That's a great activity. Yeah. Awesome.
And so, then just on the people watching, to be looking for potential, like looking, when you see somebody, you can just go, you know, oh, they look like whatever. But just spend a bit of time imagining, like, wow, I wonder what they aspire to. Like, I wonder, you know, what they're capable of. Because when we start imagining the best for people, we just admire them. And, you know, rather than waiting for people to prove themselves. But, you know, you see people walking past on the street and it's like, gosh, they could be an athlete. They could be the person that has this brilliant idea that solves a global problem. We just don't know, you know, and not to expect those things of those people, but just to imagine the best of people is, you know, kind of fun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, somebody might just look like a, you know, a tattooed, you know, long-haired, brightly coloured, mismatched young person, and you just go, whoa, what's going on there? But you might also look at them and go, wow, they're so creative and they're really, you know, expressing themselves. I wonder what is ahead of them. I wonder what they think about. I wonder what they would write songs about. So, you start seeing them in a different light to maybe what your initial judgment might be.
That's a great exercise.
So have some fun with that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That was just great, Kerry. So that's just the first. That's just the A in asking.
but it all starts with awareness.
Some good strategies, yeah. So if it starts with awareness, so our next letter is S in asking. So what's the S stand for?
Yeah, and it's a start as well. It starts small. So this is the actual connecting. So everything else is internal, the you know, awareness of self and others. But the start small is like, okay, so we're actually out in public, there's people around, so how do we start? So just start small, rather than, you know, trying to find somebody to give them a big spiel or a story, just smile. Start with a smile. Really start with eye contact. So you just look for people to connect with. So just go for a walk along the street, make eye contact, be ready with a smile. And so coming back to self-awareness, you would notice when you're walking, am I frowning or am I ready to smile if anyone looks at me? Am I intense? Because sometimes we're just not relaxed. You might be thinking through all the work that you've got to do and then notice that you're clenching your teeth or something. Well, it's going to take you longer to switch into a smile. So So just relax and be happy before you see people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so that you can just start with eye contact, smile, and again, this is not about having a script, but it's just about being ready for something in the moment. So it might be hello, or it might start with a comment. It might just be, oh my gosh, what a gorgeous day, or wow, did you see what that bird just did? It could be all kinds of things, you know, related to what's going on around you. So, you know, for me, the other day on a plane, it was a book. There was a guy who he said to me later, he doesn't talk to strangers, so he was ready with his sort of ammunition or his protective gear. So he had his book to read, he had his headphones to put on, and he found himself in conversation with me. So how did that happen?
Couldn't get away.
And I don't get on a plane intentionally going, okay, I'm gonna talk to somebody, because it's just like, well, we'll just go with the flow, see what happens. But I saw his book and it was about the brain, and so I was like, wow, that looks like a great book. And so I didn't start with a hello. It was a, oh, that was like a good book. And he's like, oh, yeah, it is. I said, do you mind if I take a photo of the cover? And so I did. And so then, you know, we talked about how that was relevant to me and what he was getting out of it. And, yeah, and then we talked the whole way. So it's so important to just be ready to start small and not think, okay, I have to have my connecting spiel ready, because then you're not in the moment. If you're trying to remember, what do I say first? So just, that's why I say start small.
Yeah, and I love that, because, again, as I was saying before, a lot of times who, you know, people who, you know, may teach in the space of, you know, making sales, making connections, getting that date or whatever it is, they will have their scripts and their templates that you, and I find when you go, like, for example, if we went back to the very beginning, you were talking about going into a networking event and feeling, you know, if you walk in and then there's somebody who's desperate to make the sale or whatever it is, again, you will come across people and you'll say to people, oh, hi, how are you? What do you do? And then you can say, wow, you've practiced that one in front of the mirror, haven't you? Like, because they have just got the whole spiel and you think, wow, there was absolutely no connection between me and them then, because it was all memorized. It was just so unnatural that it really could have been anybody here standing in front of them asking the question and they would have got the same answer. So I like that you've just talked here about starting with those simple things and not feeling that pressure to have everything prepared beforehand, because it it takes the pressure off. You can relax a little bit into going something where you're going to be in the situation of whether it's a social thing of going to a party or whether it is a business thing of a networking event or a conference or going into a situation where, you know, you're meeting with potential clients. Just so for people who are listening, you know, what could be some suggestions that they could do to perhaps do those small steps more naturally, more spontaneously?
You know, Janet, when you just said, you know, you can relax a little bit, I just thought, I just pictured, you know, a tense muscle. So if you, Janet, and everyone listening, would just clench your fist and, you know, feel your arm. Now, can you imagine if you're a massage therapist and you're trying to massage this arm? What would you be saying?
Relax, relax, just darling. Relax, you're so tense. You're so tense.
Because it's like, we're not going to get anywhere when you're not relaxed. And I think people don't trust themselves. So it's, you know, you need to just relax and trust that the conversation will flow. Because when we're working on trying to get it right, it's like, yeah, something's not right here. It's not going to work. We're not going to have the desired outcome. Mm. Just like you wouldn't have the desired outcome with that massage.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So I think that's, you know, in order for, you know, for people taking notes and about how to apply this to yourself this week, is even just that, again, it comes back to that self-awareness of, am I ready to smile? Am I relaxed enough to even be able to start that small interaction or even receptive to somebody else doing it?
Yeah.
It's just a simple thing to be able to be aware of and practice this week.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to confess, I don't know about what the rules are with creating an acronym, but Start Small is, you know, there's a few S's involved, because I've got Start Small, Start With A Smile, and Scare Yourself just a little bit. Because
oh, Scare Yourself, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, when you scare yourself a little bit, like whether it's, you know, going high on a swing or going on a big slippery dip or a water slide or a bungee jump, you know, it's going to be different for everybody. But when you do something that not terrifies you to the point of tears, but something that scares you a little bit, how do you feel on the other side of it?
Mm.
It's like, whew, that was good. Let's do that again. And so if, you know, going to a networking function might be a terrifying thought, so that's okay. Don't do that this week. But go for a walk down the street and just be ready to make eye contact and smile. And know that other people, again, awareness of others, other people might be preoccupied. They might look straight through you. And they're not ignoring you. They're probably just thinking about what the heck are they going to put on the table for dinner?
Yes.
So
yes.
Just relax, go with the flow. It's you know, probably more about them. But you will encounter other people who make eye contact and smile back. And when you realize that you've actually given someone a smile, when you've smiled at someone and then they smile, it's such a great feeling. You just go, oh, you know, it makes your day and it makes their day as well. So starting small might be literally just going for a walk, and but doing something that is, you know, going to scare you a little bit, it's going to get you a bit out of the comfort zone, so that later you're going, whew, I did that. So when we do something a bit brave, then we're energized to go do something else brave.
Yeah,
and I've got
absolutely.
So many stories on this. I probably should stop now because otherwise
it's a big one. And I imagine that this is something that you do a lot with your clients is that challenging them of the different things that they can be doing that's going to be brave, to push them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
I can imagine that that's something that you would do quite well, quite instinctively.
Yeah, and often at functions, like I'll in a conference, for example, or a networking function that I'm facilitating, I will ask people if they will jump out of the comfort zone with me. Like I say, I have a tendency to throw myself out of the comfort zone. Like I do things to scare myself. But would you join with me? Would you be willing just to stretch yourself a little and get out of the comfort zone? And so it might be just going and talking to somebody that you haven't met yet. So, yeah, so have some fun with that this week. Starting small.
Mm, that's excellent.
With a smile.
And how fantastic is that? You know, for having somebody like you facilitating an event like that, giving people the permission and to actually connect and to go out of their comfort zone, that's just makes it so much more powerful for the people there.
It's so exciting, and I love the feedback from those events, because people go, I met this person and then they told me about this and now we're doing business together, or now we're like going to introduce our kids to each other. Or yeah, it's really exciting what comes out of those conversations.
That's great. So let's move on now to, so if it's asking, we must be up to number 3, which starts with a K. What is the K?
Yeah, that's keep going. And it's not just keep going, but keep going with quality questions.
Ooh.
So,
I love that you did some alliteration, some quality questions. That's good.
Because we need to
so what do you mean by
this? We need to think about the kind of questions that we ask, because you know, you probably can think of someone that you've met who's gone, you know, oh, this weather's shocking, isn't it? Well, yeah, maybe it is. But if we're going to talk about something that's shocking or something that's, like, appalling, then have you noticed when you've got a bad story, someone's got a worse one?
Yes.
It's like, oh, I can beat that one. Like, last week when I was going through this challenge happened. And so, you know, it can feel good, actually, to talk about drama, but it's not sustainable. Like, it's like, ew, the conversation goes down and you just kind of go, yeah, okay, I've had enough of that conversation. I think I'll go and talk to somebody else. But if we have a conversation that is uplifting, you know, that takes the conversation onwards and upwards, then there's no telling where this could end up. It would be, you know, a really rewarding conversation for both people. So it takes the conversation somewhere that's safe, that's interesting, that's, you know, solution-focused or, you know, a positive focus. So, you know, it could be like a lovely sunny day, for example. You know, we don't want to get stuck on talking about the weather, but, you know, some days are just gorgeous, especially at the moment. You just walk outside and go, oh, it's so lovely. That's a lovely day. And so just to share that with someone, then you might say, yeah, what do you like to do on a day like this? You know, or what would you do on a weekend with this kind of weather? And yeah, and if people talk about things that they like doing, then that opens the door to more conversations, to another question. So, you know, it could lead to, this is like Paris last year. Oh, wow, that would be cool. I haven't been there. So you just start talking and asking people questions about stuff that they're safe to talk about. And generally, starting with things that are more leisure-related or, you know, where are you off to today, it's safer than the what do you do question. I was talking to a lady on a flight recently who said, she doesn't talk to strangers either, but somehow she was in conversation with me. But she said, I've always, you know, like at parties and, you know, traveling, I don't want people to say what do you do because I don't want to tell them what I do. Like, and she was retired now, but she said, I would say I just work in an office. Because the truth was that she was a barrister. And so when you say that to somebody, they go, oh, you know what? My brother's been in court because of this thing. And then, you know, doctors have the same kind of thing. Oh, you're a doctor. Oh, see, I've got this skin issue here, like on my hand. It's all, you know, nobody wants to talk about work if it's that kind of conversation. So it's really good for entrepreneurs to remember. You might love people to ask you what you do. I mean, Janet, I can imagine if I met you on a train, I would love to know more about what you do, and you'd probably love to tell me more about it, but we can't make that assumption that everyone loves talking about what they do. So it's not the best thing to launch into, but you might ask somebody, so what do you love doing? You know, or what do you love about your work? If they go, nothing really. Oh, okay. what do you love about your weekends? It's like, move on. Don't delve into what they're clearly not comfortable with, but ask them questions about things that light them up. And so it can just be the little things like, oh, my gosh, that's a great scarf. Where did you get that? If you can notice something unique about a person, they want to share about it and, you know, it lights them up. But you sense it because you're being aware of them and, and just being present in the conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's a really practical step that you've actually mentioned of, and, you know, this is a great one for everyone to write down, is starting off, if you start talking about things that have got to do with leisure, things that they like doing their time off in their pleasure, they're safe topics that people are really happy to talk about. So, you don't have to dive straight in to, you know, like if it's like a relationship, you know, you're kind of saying, well, you know, tell me what your likes are and maybe we could get together for a drink rather than, hey, how many kids do you want to have? A lot of times people just try to dive straight into, you know, what they're really wanting to know about, like, you know, what do you do for your work and can you be my customer? To starting off, you know, in those things that do cause a connection. So I thought that was a really good tip. Start with the safe topics that have got to do around your leisure and the things that they like to do, but by asking those really positive questions. I think that's a really, you know, even that example that you gave to do with different ways of looking at the weather. Because even if it's a crappy day, you know, you can talk about, oh, what did you used to like doing on rainy days like this when you were a kid? I know for me, I just want to colour in. You know, like it's just, you know, you can still twist it around so it's the uplifting question. I liked how you talked about if you start with something that can go negative, it's only going to wind down and not actually get where you want. So really, really practical strategies there. Love it.
Yeah, just notice. In the book, I've got an image of a smiley face on the right-hand side of the page and like a downcast face on the other side of the page and there's little arrows in between. So it's like just be aware of which way does your conversation go, which way does it, you know, if it's heading the wrong direction. You know, sometimes you can just say, rather than thinking, oh, no, it's going the wrong direction, just say, wow, talking about politics or talking about the weather just gets me down. Can you talk about something else? People are like, oh, yeah, okay. And it's the same, you know, I don't know if this will come up somewhere else, so I'll share it now while I think of it. People ask me about what if it's awkward? You know, what do you do once you've asked a question and then there's like this awkward pause? And so my advice is just be okay with awkward, because it is only momentary. You know, you have this moment of like, oh, that's awkward. And you can say it sometimes, and, you know, like a stranger will laugh that off with you. You can just go, okay, this is awkward, but I just was wondering about, you know, whatever it is that you're wondering about. Because people want to come to your rescue. If I said, Janet, I'm feeling kind of awkward, you would say, oh, don't feel awkward, because we just naturally want to get rid of the awkwardness. So
yes.
You would want to help me out of that as quickly as possible too. So, and also it's a way of getting permission. Like, you know, this might be awkward, but can I just ask you about that book? Like, I just wondered if it's, you know, like something you're studying, or did you write that, or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, just be okay with awkward.
Yeah, that's great. I like that of, you know, that's really good, really good advice, because, you know, when it is inevitable you are going to have those awkward times, and normally that's when you're thinking that you're failing. So that's really good advice, really good advice.
Yeah, and if you panic, you try and rush, and then, yeah, you lose your awareness of self and others because you're just trying to, you know, fix something externally when you're feeling it internally.
Yeah, love it.
Mm.
Yeah, and I love how that you've got this real awareness, and I think this is an important thing for people to note, is that in each of these steps, you have flipped between an external action, an external awareness, and an internal awareness. So it's always moving between being aware about what you're thinking and external, is it? So you're saying you're trying to fix something externally, you know, when it's really, it's just an internal thing, not a problem.
Yeah.
So we move on to the next one. So if we've got asking, so we've had ask, so it must be up to the I and the ing.
Yeah, so that's interest in others. So you would have heard that already in things that we've been talking about, but just being interested in people, and again, it's the curiosity that underpins the whole asking model, just focusing on the other person, expressing an interest in them or what's important to them, really makes them feel valued, and it's a choice, and it's a rewarding choice, because I could be just wrapped up in my own, you know, thinking and stuff I've got to do and everything, but if I engage with somebody and take an interest in them, then, you know, it's like the smile, you know, it comes back to you and you're just kind of like, wow, that's a really worthwhile conversation. So, you know, it might be, you know, like someone's child, or, you know, their puppy dog. Like, I mean, animals and children, I've got a whole section in the book on children and animals, because they're great connectors. It's very easy to just go, wow, what a gorgeous outfit, or, oh, what a cutie. Oh, my gosh, your dog looks so well-groomed. I think I need to, you know, give mine a bit more love. But it's acknowledging something or someone who is important to the person you're talking to. Or it could be like the illustrations I've used before, you know, it's a beautiful scarf or hat, or like, wow, that's a pretty cool suitcase. And I have to say, it doesn't always work. A lady got on the train the other day in Sydney, and she just come back from overseas, and, you know, it was at international airport, so you know that people have just arrived from somewhere. So she gets on with a suitcase, which was like a suitcase I've never seen the likes of before. It was bright yellow and fluffy. I can't think how to describe it. But the other thing that was really interesting was that she had hula hoops, but not the standard size hula hoops, but a bit smaller, and they were kind of just draped over her neck, and but clearly bigger than a necklace. It was just unusual. And so I was like, wow, looks like you've been on some adventures. And she's like, oh, I just popped over to New Zealand. And I was like, oh, wow, what was happening over there? Like a holiday? And she said, oh, no, just a wedding. I'm like, okay, cool. But she clearly was not, she didn't look any, she didn't come across as the vibrant person that I expected with that suitcase and the hula hoops. And it's like, wow, this person's got a story. And she's probably just tired. So, you know, you don't take it personally. You just kind of go, okay, that's interesting. But I was dying to ask about the hula hoops. But it's like, yeah, I don't think she's in the mood.
Yeah.
But, you know, on another day, she might just go, oh, yeah, we did this, like, really funny dance at the wedding. And, yeah, I'm sure she would have had some great stories. But generally, you express interest, and it didn't make the rest of the train trip awkward. It was just, you know, you just sit in comfortable silence. You know, I think everyone's got a friend like that who you can just travel with, and it's, you know, you might talk sometimes and not talk other times. I think just decide that it can be comfortable silence. It doesn't have to be awkward. It's the same as, you know, being okay with awkward, just going, okay, that's cool, we've had a little chat, we've broken the ice. If they want to talk again, they can talk again. Or, yeah, sometimes it comes and goes. But, yeah, just look for things that that you can, yeah, that you can be interested in.
Yeah. And you know what I find quite interesting, just because you've talked about this, about interest in others. One thing, because we talked about, you know, a couple of times you've talked about networking events or people who are doing something with networking. And I'm just thinking of one example that I've found because, you know, quite a lot of times, you know, I'll have clients that, you know, are into some sort of network marketing, for example. And I'm sure...
Or home-based, yep.
And the interesting thing I've found is they... Like, there could be one thing about, okay, they have a program or a product that they're selling, but also they're wanting to build their network. They're wanting to build their town, like their team. And I can really, one thing that I see that people do a lot wrong is instead of really showing an interest in the other person about what it is that they want, you know, they could be thinking, you know, really this person may not actually be interested that much in what you're selling. But by taking an interest in them and actually asking them about themselves and starting those conversations, they may not actually be so much interested in the consuming a product, but they're really, really interested in learning about the lifestyle choices of working from home. And a lot of times, I find that there's almost like those awkward situations come around is because the person is having the wrong conversation because they haven't actually taken the time to find out what is interesting to that other person. What is it that they want to know about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was just thinking when you were saying that about a man that I know who's in network marketing, and he got into it because of the makeup, because of his daughters. So, you know, you can make an assumption that because you love the makeup, other people will. Or because, you know, that's just an example. But, you know, like you might love the product and go, oh, my gosh, everyone's going to have these products. But then they might be going, I don't care what the product is. I think that's a really good business system. I want to know more about that. You know, I'll sort out the details of the product later. But, yeah, what is it that interests you about this idea or about this opportunity? To give people space to share what interests them, rather than making the assumption that because I love it, you're going to love it too. That almost sounds like a directive, and sometimes it is. People can just go, you're going to love this. If you just do what I tell you to do, you're going to love it, rather than pausing and asking questions and, yeah, really serving people with their interests.
And so for people to apply this particular step, the I, for the interest in others, so what can be some practical things that people can do this week that they can start practicing this and getting some runs in, whatever it is, whether they're applying this just to their personal life, if they're applying it to growing their business or all of the things in between, what can be some practical steps to apply that?
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be a conversation with a stranger. You could ask somebody in your team, you know, what really interests you about, you know, like maybe ask them about their hobby or their weekends. Like, what is it that you most like about skydiving? You know, some people will make an assumption that because it's, you know, an adventure sport, they must just love the adrenaline rush. Well, maybe they love the sense of community that they have, or maybe they love the engineering that's involved. There can be so many different things. So just asking them and not expecting that you know what the answer is. Because we think we know the answers because it's what makes sense to us. So to sort of suspend our judgment and just, yeah, it's like choosing to be interested and just, yeah, just ask people, can I ask you what, you know, what interests you most about, you know, this or that?
Actually, that's a really good line. I know that you're not into scripts, but you've been giving some really handy sort of tips on how to start and how to break the ice. That's a really good one. Can I ask you what interests you about? That's a really nice line to be able to use to be able to implement that fourth step of, you know, showing interest in others. Is how do you start that conversation?
Yeah, and you know, there was one train conversation that I had where it was a bit awkward because this guy like sat so close to me. Name, and I was like, oh wow, I don't think I've met anyone with that name before. Where do you know what it means? And so I'm expressing interest in his name. I'm also putting the attention on his name rather than like on, wow, you're sitting very close to me. and he was just so chuffed that I was interested in the meaning of his name. And another thing is accent, you know, to go, wow, I love your accent. Can I ask where you're from? Or, it's like, wow, there's something about you that's cool, and I'd love to know about that.
Excellent, yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, so if we move, moving along through our asking, so we've gone past I, so we're up to the last two. So with N, so what is the one for N in asking?
This one's really fun. This is natural confidence. So people say, oh, but I'm not confident. But the truth is you are. It's just that when you're trying to be confident about something, that's when you lose it. But when you are being yourself, you're confident. Like, so if you've been driving for years, you're a confident driver. When you're in your element, you don't have to sort of stop and think about how do I do this or am I looking right? Am I doing it correctly? You're just doing it, so you're confident. So when I was creating this, a friend said, "Oh, but I'm not confident. You know, I don't have natural confidence." And I said, "Ah, but you do, because I observed you the other day having a conversation with so and so who is not really a conversationalist either. Like he's really quite shy, and yeah, you don't really see him talking to people. But you guys were having a great conversation." And he went, oh, yeah, that's because we're talking about this, you know, they're both learning the same language and they, you know, they both play chess. And so they found things to talk about that had them in this vibrant conversation. So you don't notice when you're naturally confident because you're comfortable. So what you do notice is when you're not confident, and then you beat yourself up because you're like, oh, I'm not confident. So it comes back to, you know, self-awareness and letting go of the, you know, the expectations that you have on yourself and, you know, trying to look good, because people feel it. Like, trust that you do. I remember I was talking to a friend last night about, you know, wardrobe and wearing something to a gala dinner. It's like, you know what, even if this isn't the best dress for me, even if it's, you know, it's not 100%, I'll just assume that I look good. Because if you assume that, if you just go, okay, I'm just going to trust that I look good and it's appropriate for the event, then I don't have to think about it anymore and I will be confident. But if I keep second guessing, oh, does this look right? Should I have worn the other thing? Well, then your confidence just drains out your toes. So again, it's a choice. And also it's just, be your best self. Talk about stuff that you know about. Don't try and sound educated. I've got two stories in the book in the Meeting Famous and Influential People chapter, where I met the Prime Minister of Australia, John Howard. And at the time, I was very pretentious and trying to, you know, I was at a community leaders event. So I felt the pressure of looking and performing like a community leader and wasn't feeling entirely confident in that role. And so I was, you know, wearing the educated, eloquent hat, and I could have just been a person. I could have actually made a human connection with him and trying to sound educated. I could have said, "Mr. Howard, thank you so much for coming to Dubbo. It's really lovely to meet you. And, you know, my parents couldn't be here today, but they really enjoyed meeting you in France a couple of years ago. Do you remember when your entourage left you behind at the war memorial?" He would absolutely remember that. And we would make a personal connection. But no, I tried to to look good. So we all do it from time to time and have this pressure on ourselves. But if we just talk about what we know and just be who we are, then we do come across as naturally confident. And we are literally confident.
I love how you've actually talked about, because we do that, don't we? We feel as if this is how other people are expecting me to behave and expecting me to look. And therefore we try to fit the part. Whereas, you know, from what you're saying is if you forget about what everybody's expecting of you and just make the assumption that you have satisfied what they want anyway, then you can just focus on being yourself. That's a really, really powerful thing to do. And I think that that actually takes, interestingly, you talked about natural confidence. I think it actually takes that confidence to go, you know what, I am okay as I am. Is that something that you help people with when you're working with them?
Yeah, because it's really about the conversation in your head. And so whether it's one-on-one work or even in a group, in a conference, I've helped people address their thinking, notice the conversation that they're having with themselves and about themselves, and to change that conversation. Because, you know, when we're happy, we're confident. And when we're confident, we're happy. So it really is just about noticing our thinking, which comes back to awareness. It's all connected. Just be who you are and like who you are. And, you know, we keep growing, but don't keep shifting the goalposts and always thinking that you haven't arrived yet and, you know, beating yourself up because of that. You know, you're on a journey, but just appreciate where you're at and how far you've come. And one thing that I love asking people to do is to celebrate the little things and notice, you know, what have you done well this week? What's this little moment of feeling proud of yourself, whether it was just something as small as, you know, ticking off three things off your to-do list. It's like we stifle that within ourselves. You tick things off and you're just like, I did that. And then you're like, oh, I don't want to get a big head. And so you squelch it.
Right.
But you'll spend heaps of time thinking about all the things that you haven't done yet and, you know, all the ways in which you haven't arrived. But just give yourself a pat on the back. It's okay to just go, oh, I did that well. Yeah, that was pretty good. I can see how I can do it better next time, but, you know, well done you.
So I think that could be a really good activity for people to be doing this week, is to actually, on a day-to-day basis, acknowledge something that you've done and have yourself a nice little celebration about it. Is a really nice strategy to be able to do, because, I like how you've actually linked that celebration and self-acknowledgement with self-confidence, because if you're, every time that you're doing that, I can imagine that you're actually sending yourself a little message of, you know what, I'm okay as I am. So I don't have to pretend. I don't have to feel inadequate. I don't have to pretend to be something else. I'm actually quite cool the way that I am now.
So I think this week, maybe there's two different activities you could take on and do both if you like. But write down three things that you're really proud of that, you know, it could just be big things that you've pulled off, you know, a book you've written or, a party that you hosted or something that you've done, you know, that is one of those big things in your life that you're really proud of. But also just three things that you've got done today. And sometimes, great, I think especially when we're online, we just go, what on earth do I even do today? Where did my time go? But you go and check your sent items and you go and check your phone log for the day, your recent calls, and you're like, oh, I did get some stuff done. Write down those things that you got done. So because when we see what we've accomplished, it gives us energy for what we can do next. And so this reminds me of a story that I stopped myself from telling you earlier with the scare yourself a little. But I'll just share it quickly because it relates to both. So when I was in New Zealand, I was standing at the top of the this big water slide. There was a whole lot of different water slides, but at the top of the tallest one, and there was a sign above it. It said The Coffin, and it was called The Coffin because it was pitch black inside. It was completely closed in, and so you get into this water slide.
And it's pitch black. Yeah, and so there's the name, the coffin, and there was a red light, you know, because somebody was on it, and you wait for the green light. And so I'm standing there waiting for the green light, feeling quite comfortable. But then my brother-in-law said, "This is the scariest ride in New Zealand." And I went, and then I realized, oh my gosh, I'm scared. And then I was like, what? You just did a bungee jump 2 days ago. This is a water slide.
So that realization that I've done scarier stuff than this, it made me confident to do the water slide, because I don't have to take on the fact that it's really scary. That's what other people say about it. And that's what I could say about it myself. But when I go, what have I accomplished already? You know, I have done some stuff and I can do this. So that helps build your natural confidence.
That's excellent. And you know what? Some of the things that you can all mark off as done this week is the different activities, the different little challenges that Kerry's been giving you as we've gone through each of these steps. They can actually be some of the things that you can be ticking off as, you know, I did that this week. And and feel proud for yourself. Good on you.
Yeah.
You've done them. And then also come and tell Kerry, because wherever you're listening to this interview, we'll be on you'll have a way there. You might be on Kerry's website. You've got a way of being able to connect with her. So come and, you know, come and drop an email. Come and just connect and say, you know what? This was the challenge that you gave I was listening to your interview, and this is what I did, you know? And so as well as you're celebrating it yourself, sharing that with Kerry is a really nice way to acknowledge, you know, that she's actually, that you've listened and that she's helped you. But also it does that thing of, you know, what I'm actually acknowledging, not just to myself, but to somebody who I feel a connection with, which is Kerry, that I'm actually acknowledging, you know what, I did this, so I'm pretty cool how I am. So
Because it is important, to share those little moments with somebody who will say, wow, cool, good on you, not,
Yeah,
and I think we're afraid of that happening, and so we say it to ourselves. You know, we squash ourselves before we acknowledge it. Either with me or with a friend, that you just go, can I just share something I'm really proud of? It's just a little thing, but it kind of means something to me because it means I can move forward. Yeah, I did this week. Yeah, or write yourself a letter of congratulations. Yeah,
that's good.
Which kind of leads me to.
Yeah, so I'm thinking we must be up to the last one, are we?
Yeah, and it's like, so G for gratitude. And so I was just thinking of being grateful to yourself and just going, wow, well done you. But gratitude is a great connector. So, you know, if you just notice when you go through a checkout and, you know, the checkout person's just, you know, scanning things and they're like, hi, how are you going? Yeah, good, thanks. And how many times does that interaction happen without eye contact? But if you know, stand there and you look at the person and you say, thank you so much, you know, it looks like you've had a big day, but acknowledge them and say thank you, it's amazing how people will look up and like, oh, I was thanked. You know, gratitude is not common enough. There's, you know, so many books about gratitude and, there's blogs everywhere about gratitude journals, and it's a conversation we need to keep having. It's so important to express gratitude. But, you know, in terms of connecting with strangers, it's a great connector. You know, and of course, be sincere. But find ways to thank people. And, like, I got upgraded in a hotel. I was at a really flash hotel, and I was staying there to stay on site for a conference, and it was winter, so I'm like, I've got to stay warm. So I'm just staying on site. I booked, you know, through one of those last minute websites. And so I got the cheapest room in the hotel, rocked in there to check in, and, you know, I was like, oh, thank you so much. And they, I don't know why, but they upgraded me. And it's like, I wonder if they had people being ungrateful and just coming to like go, where's my room? I just need to get to my room. and, you know, being rude or bossy, you express gratitude and people, it's like they just really want to go the extra mile to sort of like deserve the gratitude or something. I don't know. But it just, it lights us up when somebody says thank you. It's like an acknowledgement. And so, you know, we can just look for opportunities to say, you know, thanks so much, you know, for your efforts. If you can see a specific thing to acknowledge. So, for example, Janet, I would say not just thank you for having this conversation with me, but what I really appreciate is that you have been so engaged in this. It's like you're really loving this conversation as much as I am, and you've really put so much thought into asking me the best questions and helping me share things that I didn't really intend to share, but you just pulled the best out of me. So that's something specific that I really actually want to acknowledge you for that I hadn't planned, because, you know, it just pops up now as I'm thinking about gratitude.
Oh, thank you. And you know what, that was actually, I mean, apart from thank you for that, because I am actually enjoying this conversation as much as you, I love how you've actually given a really nice demonstration of how to show gratitude, because you've talked about something that was very, very specific. So if you had said something which would be just as nice as thank you for doing such a wonderful interview, which would be lovely, but for you to be very, very specific and point out what you're grateful for has so much more meaning, and I feel, you know, an incredible sense of reciprocal gratitude because of that. And so I think that's a really good lesson for people here to listen to, is you've talked about gratitude as being an important part here, but you've also demonstrated exactly the way that you do that effectively. And, you know, I think I can remember you telling me a story ages ago, Kerry, something about Richard Branson or something to do with gratitude. I'm trying to think what it was, but it just came to my mind.
You might have read it in the book.
That's what it was.
So
when I think that I had the conversations with you, but I was reading your book.
I might have talked about it too. Because, yeah, that was about 5 years ago, and I really wanted to get a copy of my previous book into his hands. So it's called Lifting the Lid on Quiet Achievers, and the subtitle is Success Stories of Regional Entrepreneurs. So I had interviewed regional entrepreneurs from all over Australia, and, you know, a number of them had expressed gratitude in the book to Richard Branson and other people that they'd learned from, you know, sort of heroes afar off and people in their community that they really appreciated. And I felt sort of responsible. When I was invited to a breakfast, I felt like I need to give him a copy of this book and say thank you for inspiring us. And, like, how many entrepreneurs in Australia would be impacted by his story? So, yeah, I did want to give him the book. And I got to the breakfast and they said, so Richard has a very busy schedule today. He's not hanging around to talk to anyone. He's not signing any books. He's got to go. And I thought, I did not come all this way across the country to not get to meet him. So I'm going to go ahead with this plan. But I did, there's probably elements of the asking model right through this, and I'll just give you the story in a nutshell. But I connected with the ushers who knew which doors he was coming in and going out of. And
oh, I love it.
And I, yeah. So you see, everyone is important.
So this is the asking model applied to stalking.
I was aware of his time constraints. I was also aware that he would be coming in and out without, you know, too many people seeing where he was coming from and going to. Anyway, so I asked the ushers, you know, where he would be coming in, and his mind just sort of rushed him through and said, everyone needs to clear the room. And so it was like, oh, okay. And I thought, fair enough. He's getting ready to speak. He might not, you know, want to connect right now. And so I thought, okay, I'll catch him on the way out. But when I did, I was going with a gift and I was going to express gratitude. I wasn't going to ask something of him, you know, can you please sign a book for me? Can we please have a selfie? Although I have to say, we did get a selfie, and that's there in the book. because someone took a photo of us and then handed the camera back and said, I don't think it worked. And so I said, do you mind if we take a selfie, and his mind is going, keep moving, because everyone was going to start coming out of the building. And so he just put his arm around me, and he said, sure, we'll have to keep moving. And so we just walked with his arm around me and took a selfie. But back to the moment where I said to him, excuse me, Sir Richard, I just would like to offer you a copy of my book. And I've got pages tagged and tagged here with post-it notes where you're quoted or mentioned. And we just wanted to say thank you for inspiring us. There's so many entrepreneurs, you know, in Australia who and everywhere, who are so impacted by your story and so encouraged, and so I want to say thank you. And he was like, oh, wow, thank you. This is a big deal. He really acknowledged the effort that I put into the book, and just a lovely, genuine conversation. And he was, you know, talk about aware, he was very present and focused and in the conversation with me. And, yeah, it was just really lovely. But if I had just said, can you sign this book for me, he'd probably be polite and he'd sign it, and it would just be a, you know, like claim to fame. Yay, I met Richard Branson, he signed my book, look at this autograph. But it was a connection that I felt, I can share this with people, because I would, you know, if I have, you know, that many people wanting to meet me at some stage, I would want to be that present. So I felt that he gave me a gift in that he demonstrated how you can be, you know, world famous, you know, the man of the moment, but actually honouring and respectful of the person that's standing in front of you, not knowing their story. You know, we all know his story, but he was just as respectful of me, and that was really beautiful. So, you know, he gave something to me, even as I was being grateful to him and expressing gratitude to him.
That is such a beautiful story to share, and, you know, and it's probably a really nice story for us to end on. And, you know, so I mentioned before, I really do recommend that that you do connect with Kerry when you're listening here. Is, and one really nice way for you to be able to, you know, practice what she's been teaching is, you know, just to connect, whether it's via email or whether it's via Facebook, you'll have links there to wherever you're listening to this interview, is, you know, just connect with Kerry and make that simple first step to say, hi, I really enjoyed the interview, and demonstrate exactly like Kerry has, very specific about, I'm grateful for this, this and this, because this is what I've done. You know, it can be, and it's your way of being a gift. So you're not necessarily contacting her saying, you know, I want you to sign my book or whatever, though I'm sure Kerry would love to. But, you know, by actually connecting in that very positive way with a gift of gratitude, will always be that lovely first step. And it is incredibly rewarding for people like Kerry and I that, you know, that take the time to actually share, you know, to be able to gift and share what we're passionate about and share that education and share a strategy for you to help. One of the most rewarding things to have is for feedback. So I really do encourage you to go to Kerry's site, click on that contact her, and to leave some very specific feedback for her. And so, Kerry, what's the next step for people? So if we've talked about how they can connect with you as just to make that first touch. Now, if people have been listening to this, and I know you've mentioned a few things, you know, with when you're working, facilitating conferences, when you're working with people one-on-one, when you've talked about workshops, and you've mentioned quite a few different things that you do. If people would like to get to work closer with you, would like you to help them either personally or in their organisations, what's the best thing for them to do and for your next steps to be able to work together?
Well, yeah, and if you run into me in the street, just go, hey, Kerry.
Yeah.
Or on a plane or a train or something, that would just be really fun. Yeah, that's quite fun when people do that. But, yeah, the website, kerryfitz.com. And, you know, there's Facebook, and there's a Facebook group called Do Talk to Strangers. But especially when you're connecting online, I just want to recommend, and I've recommended in the book as well, send a personal note, because there are so many fake profiles on Facebook. There are, you know, spammers and everything. So if somebody sends me a personal note, and somebody lives in Pakistan the other day, you know, I would like to
you know, connect with you. And he gave me a little bit of story about why he wanted to connect. And I thought we had two mutual friends. Oh, okay, great. And so we've had a lovely conversation. And that just fast tracks the connecting. If you actually say something, don't just click add friend, because that can just get lost in hundreds of other ones. So, yeah, connect authentically, connect, you know, with words. And, yeah, do that through the website. Or, just
applying that asking model, really, to the way that they connect online with you. Yeah,
that's
everybody.
Right. That's right. And, but do connect. And I really tailor the workshops and conferences that I do for the people involved, because like you can see with the asking model, I'm not just saying here's a script, go do that. It's like what's going on for you? What are you noticing about your connecting, and how can I support you to be, you know, connecting better in your conference? Or, you know, what are the outcomes that you are wanting, and so how can I support you to think through, you know, what's the conversation in your head about that? What's the conversation in your organization? What's the culture like, and what do you want it to be like? So it's, you know, we start with a conversation, and I'm happy to support. But yeah, on kerryfitz.com there's you know, you'll see different things that are available. There's like the book and the ebook and some audios and a whole lot of stuff to cheer you on, because I'm passionate about cheering people on to connect authentically and to, you know, make the difference that you're born for.
That's brilliant. And yeah, and just I love that idea that you know, that to connect with you, and then you can see, you can actually ask them the questions, so you can let them know the best way that you can help is a really walking your talk. I love it. I love it. So thank you so much for your time today, Kerry, and your
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah, Jenna. Sure.
Just in terms of the connecting with me, a lot of times I'll be saying, you know, great, you know, what is it that you're looking for? Okay, would you like to talk to Janet? Or I can recommend you to other people. That's one thing I love doing, is helping people find the right fit, because it's, you know, it might not be me. It's connecting people to other people in my world, and that's just that's a whole lot of fun too.
That's a beautiful way to finish, because that's something that you do exceptionally well, is you always seem to know somebody who's going to be able to help somebody, which is because you've got that natural interest in people. And when I say natural, you know, what we've been learning today is what has come naturally to Kerry, or what she's learnt to do. And now that you have this six-step process, the asking, I really highly recommend that you get a copy of Kerry's book, Do Talk to Strangers. Connect with her to see the programs that she's got to help you, and also to connect with her to see ways that she can be helping with your organisation as well, and to go out there and make those beautiful connections with people. So thank you so much for your time, everybody, and thank you so much, Kerry. I've really enjoyed our conversation, your lovely systematic
way of
making it practical, and really great stories. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Janet, and thank you, everyone, for listening and taking notes. Thanks. Thanks so much.